Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning. Well, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run over to Lake Houston now, right next door here, and check in with John Littleton this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You got your costume on this morning?
No.
Well, if you're like me, you don't need one.
No, I just go as a dumb old fisherman. Or a dumb old hunter or something, you know. I always got some camo or a fishing shirt. So,
well, it's cool. At least, boy, the teachers in this state will love it, or all over the country, because it's Friday night Halloween. They don't have to deal with those hyped-up kids the next day in class.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, that could be a nightmare, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But
plus, they can stay up late tonight and trick-or-treat late and all that.
Well, that's what I was telling my granddaughter last night. I said, hey, you know, because they got, you know, them teenagers, they got a little group going out, you know, supposedly trick-or-treating, walking, you know, the subdivision and stuff.
Right.
And I said, hey, you know, about 9 o'clock, you need to be in bed because we got to get up at 3:30. So,
that's right. Y'all got a deer hunt in the morning, huh?
Yeah, we got to go. She can sleep on the way up there, and she'll sleep in the deer stand until I
wake her up. Hey,
yeah.
Wake up out of a dead sleep
and shoot that
deer out there, man.
Yeah. She's pretty good at it. She'll wake up pretty quick. I got her out of that mode to where when you wake her up, it's like you jump up and then, you know, the deer runs off, you know. So she knows when I wake her up to be quiet.
And I shot a good buck one time out of a dead sleep. It, man, it was busy all morning. Your head's on a swivel, your binoculars, your arms are hurting from holding them up so long, you know, looking out, down all the cinderas. And
right.
It got slow. All the deer ate all the corn and went back in the brush, and I'm sitting there waiting on somebody to come pick me up, and I fell dead asleep in that chair. And I don't know, I'd been asleep for about 15 minutes, and I woke up, and there was a big old buck standing right straight down the cinder I was facing, and just slid the gun out the window, and kaboom, that happened quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're talking seconds, not
only
minutes.
Deer out. He just walked out, and he was picking up little kibbles that were left behind, and he went to the cleaning table after that. I made a mess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we got a couple picked out, you know, and so, you know how it is. If they come out, we'll shoot them. If not, hey, we'll just go sit outside. It's right time, and the weather's good.
It's nice,
you know?
Isn't it? Really nice.
It is awesome. Yeah, 51 degrees in my truck here. So, you know, that's to me, that's perfect. You know, I like that 50-degree range.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and I do, too.
I don't like it too,
I wish it was
too cold.
Year-round.
Yeah.
Man, it makes you feel better, too, man. After a long, hot summer, you feel like doing stuff.
Right. You're not out there sweating, you know, trying to put corn in the feeders and sit in a deer stand with short pants and a t-shirt, you know. That's and the mosquitoes pack you off. You know, they're bad. But the lake's still kind of, oh, I don't know, Mickey, it's muddy. I mean, there are no other words. I went over a couple
times. Well, they dropped the lake, right,
for the
rain. They dropped it, and then now it's got all the runoff in it.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, with Lake Houston being as low as it is, you know, it's just a shallow water lake.
Right.
And, you know, we had some, I mean, true three-footers this week.
Oh,
I mean,
I bet
that
you
wind
did.
Was
even
blowing
on that shallow lake. I bet it was rough as a cob the other day.
It was for 2 days in a row, and then it was, you know, no boats in the boat in the parking lot. You know, even, you know, a lot of the guys that fish out there, you know, they live there, so you know, they, you know, their boats are in their mm-hmm. boat slip at their house, but you know, there's just nobody out. You know, now I'm sure there's going to be, they got a high school tournament coming up, I think next weekend or the weekend after. It's coming up in a week or two, but there'll be, you know, there'll be a lot of, you know, a lot of young guys and gals out there, you know, trying to find a fish or two, but, you know, I don't get too discouraged because you go out there and the lake is not in its best shape right now. But water clarity wise, you know, there's still fish and they're, you know, they're still going to eat.
Sure.
You know, a lot of repeated casts, something that's going to make some noise. You know, it's going to take a little bit to catch them. But who knows? I mean, we might be in the 70s and 80s here in the, you know, when the tournament comes around. So you never know.
Well, water. That's the way, when I tournament fish, that's the way I liked it. I want it to be tough for everybody. It levels the playing field.
Right.
I mean, if they're biting like crazy, everybody's catching them, somebody is going to get lucky and, you know, catch those three or four or five magical fish. But when it's tough like that, the grinding takes over, it levels the playing field for everybody.
Yep. It eliminates a lot of them little milk runs everybody has.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
where they can run
sure.
And catch
milk
one.
Runs.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not gonna be able to do that. You know, you're not. To me, you're not. You're just gonna have to find you an area or two and sit and grind it out. And you know,
just pick the area where you know the fish are kind of living in, and just fish it from shallow to deep and all in between, and get what you can out of it instead of wasting time running around.
Right. Yeah.
Milk
but,
it.
I'm sure there's going to be, you know, some fish caught. It's just, like I said, you just got to, I'd start out with a spinner bait or buzz bait or something.
Sure.
Or, you know, just get out there and find you an area or two and you know, fish it. So, and it's not warming up that warm, you know, during the day right now. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not heating up a lot. I haven't checked or heard what the water temp is, but I'm sure it dropped, you know, a few degrees out there.
Oh, it did. I had to have, sure.
Yeah, but no, it'll still produce some fish. You just, you know, I'd try to stay more toward the south end, you know, if I was fishing it. So, you know, try to stay down there and, you know, get off of the main lake. There's a lot of good boat docks and stuff on the main lake to fish.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can get back in some of those pockets and the wind didn't disturb that much. So you can get in those pockets and just run them boat docks, you know, run
Nook
them with
granny
a spinnerbait.
Yeah,
little crankbait, you know. Always have you a little Seiko or a little Texas rig brush hog or something tied on. If you miss one, you know, throw back in there. A lot of times you'll catch it, you know, that fish. So it's all good. I mean, everybody have a good time. I just love seeing them kids out there, you know, getting outside and, you know, keeping everything going instead of, you know, sitting at home, you know, with a phone and tablet in their hand.
Sure.
So, you know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's
no,
just,
you can do
you
that
know,
when the weather's bad. The weather's good. Go fishing.
Yeah.
Get out of the house.
I got to admit, I you know, I'm on my phone a lot sitting in the deer stand. You know, I mean, checking, looking at videos and, you know, heck, check and see what's going on. But passes the time, you know. But it's amazing, you know, I was talking with the guy this week, and I said, how many times, kind of like you did when you were asleep and you woke, you know, there's a big deer standing right there.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'll do the same thing. I'll be looking down at my phone, texting or something, and then I look up and go, wow, where'd that come from? You know, there'll be two or three of them out there.
You can tell when deer hunting slows up from all over the state, about the same time when your phone starts going off. Everybody, all your buddies are text messaging from the hill country and East Texas. Yep. You're down in South Texas. Everybody, you know, phone's blowing up. You seen anything? See anything good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got one on the ground yet?
Yeah, it's
it is a distraction, though, because, man, where I hunt down there, you got to have your head on a swivel. And because everything's just thick brush, and then you have cinderas at these deer. I mean, if you're distracted and looking at your phone, a deer could walk out on one side of a cindera, and in 10 seconds he's on the other side, and you missed him, didn't even get seen.
Oh, yeah, by the time you get your gun up and get a halfway decent...
Yeah, it's too late.
You know, shot, he's gone. So, well, that's why, you know, you get that corn out there and try to stop them.
Try to hold them a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, but...
That's why I like hunting the rut. You got all that live bait out there. You got dead bait corn, and then you got the does all over the dead bait, and they're the live bait, and just waiting on a buck to get real stupid, a big one to come out, and, you know, they'll get on a doe and won't leave her, and they'll do some stupid stuff.
Oh, I know. I'm seeing, I go back and look at my footage on the cameras, and, you know, I'm already seeing bucks stretched out, nose pointed up, you know, they're thinking something's fixing to happen. They know it.
Yeah,
so,
they're sniffing.
You know, they're getting ready.
Yeah, in East Texas, they're rutting good there. They're running does everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, they'll go sit in the deer stand to 9 o'clock, 9:30, and then go back to the camp or go home or whatever, you know. A lot of them bigger, better, you know, deer, they're out at, you know, 11, 12, 1, 2
midday.
O'clock. You know,
a lot of big deer been killed in the middle of the day like that, especially during a rut.
Yeah, they didn't get big by being stupid and come out at daylight, you know.
True.
So true. They're not that dumb, you know, until the rut's on, then they get real dumb.
Yeah, that's nature.
Yeah, it's all good, you know. So we're ready as we can be for that, and then we kind of put fishing on the back burner for a little bit. But you know, we'll get back after it here after we kill a deer, you know.
I got
you. Catch them up.
Well,
yeah.
Well, good deal, John. Well, hey, man, somebody wants to call you, give them a number, my friend.
Sure, they can call me on my cell or text me 281-222-8544.
All right.
Give me a call or send me a text.
All right. Send me a picture if you put that granddaughter on a good one.
I plan on it. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. John, y'all have fun. Good luck to you.
Okay.
Later.
Thank you, Mickey.
All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and not to mention the best processing facility I've ever used. They're located right in downtown Belleville, short drive from Sealy, off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go by and check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with bulk pricing on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. And right now they're taking orders for their pecan smoked turkeys. You can order ahead to reserve your holiday bird, 11 to 13 pound average weight. That makes a meal for 8 to 10 people. And check out their homemade stuff, pork tenderloins, the jalapeno cream cheese, and the sweet chipotle cream cheese. Those are my two favorite. And check out their La Boucherie stuffed chickens. They are excellent. And their wild game processing facility is going to get real busy with rifle season opening tomorrow. Three-lane drop-off system, quick, convenient, excellent service. You just can't beat their processing facility. And while you're there, grab some grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and their dry sticks. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 518 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Texas City now and talk to our good friend Dave Fremont, Boyd's One Stop. All right. Dave, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, good morning, Captain Mickey. I'm doing just fine.
Well, that's good. I like hearing that.
This cooler weather puts you in a better frame of mind. At least it does for me.
Myself, I agree 100%, buddy.
That front had some punch to it as far as wind.
For the first good one, that was a rip snorter, wasn't it? Man, that had some wind in it. That was a good one.
It got a hold of that bay water and blew it out pretty doggone good.
Well.
And then this morning it's warmer here. I don't know. Of course, being down here right on the water, we're still holding some temperature from the bay water, and it raises it up a few degrees. But it's 59 degrees right out here at Boyd Central, but it's about 4 degrees cooler up a little ways from Dickinson to League City. It was about 54 or something like that.
Yeah, you move inland, but it gets a little warmer. It was pretty cool up at my house, you know, that northwest side of Trinity Bay this morning, but it's warmer the farther towards Galveston you get. The temperatures keep going up.
Yeah, yesterday when I got outside and made my ride, I thought I was going to have to break out my thermal Depends, but I was able to hold off. I'll wait. Another cold front or two for that, but when that temperature got down into the upper 40s with that upper 40 mile an hour wind, it was pretty good. But it moved a lot of water out and it's back a whole bunch right now. And boat ramps look good. I made my run out to the very end and just everything kind of getting back to normal. Don't have a whole lot of wind this morning, nothing in compared to what we had, and I believe it's going to be all right.
Did the water come back good?
Pretty good, Mickey. But it really stirred it up, man. We got, I don't know how many acres of mud we got from Smith Point and all that area over that way, but it's pretty muddy. But it's funny, a guy that's in a little Facebook fishing group, he sent some pictures. He was out on the dike. I thought when that wind was getting it, and he caught a, I don't know, it looked like maybe about a 3 foot. I think it looked like a bull shark to me. Now, he was hanging on the leader and hanging on the tail and pulling on it. And sometimes that'll kind of make it look a little strange. It'll make a black tip's head get wider looking. But I think it was a little bull shark that he
probably
had.
Was.
And I was surprised he caught it at all, and because the water was real skinny, but he did good. And this last week has been really good as far as folks getting out and fishing for bull reds and such. And they're catching quite a few over on the opposite side from the channel, the Texas City Channel. They're actually getting it on the other side. The two piers. Yeah, on the two piers, the two wooden piers, the city piers, they've been paying off with some bull reds. There's a
cool
young lady that fishes them pretty regularly. Man, she can catch those bull reds. I'd say, Mickey, the best croaker run that we've had in years, and some of them had some pretty good size.
I've seen some nice croaker caught this year, photo croaker.
Yeah. It's unusual compared to what we've been dealing with in the past. So hopefully it's a sign of things to come. So we'll see how it goes. Here we are. If I'm not mistaken, I think today's the 31st, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Halloween today.
I believe it is.
Got your mask
on,
or do you need one?
24/7, I've got my mask on.
Yeah,
Mickey.
Me too. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's all the same. Every day's Halloween to me. But it's right here. They won't be charging to enter the dike. They pulled up their little entry trailer, and so folks can come out here and enjoy their time without having to invest in the cleanup. But boy, the city does a wonderful job. They take some of that money and do good things with it and making the dike look so much nicer.
You know, and it's a shame that they have to do that cleanup behind people. I mean, fishermen should clean up behind themselves.
Especially with as many trash cans as we've got out there. We've got barrels all up and down, and but on a weekend it can get pretty bad. But they got a cleanup crew. They got a cleanup crew out there even on Saturdays. On Saturdays they would have somebody out there picking that stuff up. So they do a good job with what they've got to work with. But
about a month ago I stopped the boat. I was making a long run and I just pulled back on the throttle real quick, and my buddy goes, "What are you stopping for?" I said, "I'm going to pull that trash bag out of the water." And, you know, that's a nightmare. You hit that just right, and it wraps around your lower unit, and you're not paying attention. You burn your engine up, blow a head gasket or something. It's a big old black trash bag, nothing in it.
A little old trash bag can set you back some serious.
Even an ice sack, you know, an ice bag, same thing.
Yeah. It's good to be able to police that a little bit and pick it up every now and then when you see it. And ain't nothing worse than hitting the crab trap either, man. You hit it just wrong.
If you're going slow and you hit one just right, it'll suck up around. It looks like a snow cone on that prop. You better have some good cutting dikes in a boat to cut that off.
Oh, man.
Because if you don't, you're in a world of hurt, buddy.
That's tough. Well, I don't know. It sounds like we don't have anything heading this way. Weather-wise, it's going to change the temperature a lot. One of those weathermen was up there talking about another front coming down later on in the week or the weekend coming up or something. That's going to maybe be a little bit of a rainmaker or something, but then that's all I've heard weather-wise. So we're going to take this, and we're going to be thankful for it and and go with that.
I heard that. Anything good on the grill at the Cajun Grill? Any kind of special item that somebody might want to try?
Oh, man, they come out here the other day, Sharon, the lady that runs the grill, real nice lady. Sharon messaged me saying, "David, put on there on Facebook that we've got shrimp poor boys." And it's big old poor boy. It ain't as big as that Houston Chronicle that we had that burrito going on, but it's a real nice shrimp poor boy that they got. And I think that thing's only about $8.50, Mickey. Good-looking little thing. I think it might have even been I don't know if it was a basket or not. But anyway, we got that going on. And yesterday, and I think they'll carry on today, they were doing those barbecued fried crabs, Mickey, at both
locations.
Man,
I've been seeing that. And I get through with all this crew at my house fixing everything. I'm fixing to drop some crab traps in. It's crab season for me now. It gets cooler.
You're all geared up. You're geared up.
Man.
You got bait.
I got my 55-pound box of mullet, man. I'm good to go.
Good grief. Well, let us know. We'll be buying crabs from you. Just come on.
Yeah, right. No, you won't, because I'm going to be eating them, brother.
That's right.
Well, I got your number. Jake, we could make a big haul. I said, come over and have some some crab with us, man.
You bet. We'll do it. Jason messaged me, or I think it was Jason. No, I think it was his son-in-law messaged me saying that they got a bunch of number ones, big number one blue crabs, Galveston Bay blue crabs in. And so at about 8 o'clock this morning, I think I put the time on it on the little old ad, you can get number one blue crabs and big number ones for $3.33 a pound.
Come
and
on,
they're regularly... They're regularly $4.99 in our store on a good day, and I don't know how many crates they've got, but for what we have and for how long we'll have them, you can't beat them at that price. So
no, you might make me make a drive today. For that price.
Well, they
I'll fight the elements of 146 heading to Texas City. Man, what a
Oh man! I'd rather get them and come around 45 and meet up with you somewhere over that way. It's just 140. I just don't like going that way at all right now. And it's bad off and on all the way, you know, even by Hillman's there on 517 on 146. And then when you get down to Texas City, it stinks right there too. I'm not talking about the refineries. I mean, the road stinks. Right there at 146 and Palmer Highway. But anyway, in the name of so-called progress on highway renovations, we'll see how it goes. But for right now, it's a mess.
Well, it'll still be going when we're dead and gone, brother. It's never going to stop.
You got that right. We're going to do it. But anyway, I passed through and talked to Alberto back there in the back, and he was showing me some beautiful finger mullet. We got two guys that catch mullet for us right now, and I think they fish in different areas. And sometimes you can look at the mullet, and you can tell that without a doubt. A lot of times the mullet that are caught off the around Mosquito Island and the Texas City Dike, they'll be real shiny. They look like... Well, they almost look like little tiny tarpon, but the ones that come out of the canals, maybe the diversion area, and the ones around the, but yes, they look like them. I don't know the number. Yes, sir. I don't know the number of that mirror lure, of that mullet mirror lure. That's the green head. I mean, the green top on it got a real dark green and silver side.
You got the 18 and the 19.
Well.
18's got the white belly and silver flash. 19's got the gold flash and the yellow belly.
Well, I tell you, you could take one of these mullet and hold it up to that mirror lure, and the only thing you'd notice different is that live mullet's wiggling, and the other one's got hooks hanging off its belly.
That's why they make fishermen like us, so we can make that mirror lure wiggle just right.
Yeah, you got
it, buddy.
And they'll work too. Don't think you got to buy these new fandangle lures, them mirror lures.
Hey, that's the longest running good trout bait for my lifetime. I mean, they worked 50 years ago big time, and they're still working big time this day and age. So,
exactly. You tell you a mirror lure and a Tony Aceto or a Johnson Sprite silver spoon, gold spoon, and
hardware.
Be batting a couple
still
of
works,
tails,
baby.
Yeah, still works.
Never leave home without them.
I'll pass on real quick, Mickey, before I let you go. I want to listen to Mr. Hillman if he's going to be on this morning. But
he's coming up.
Good deal. Tell him good morning for me. But the grill in Santa Fe is going to be closed today and tomorrow. But we'll be back at it here again next week. But they got some things going on. Our chef has got some things going on, so we're going to hold off opening today and tomorrow. But the Cajun Grill is open. The Boyd's has got it all. Live shrimp, good-looking live shrimp, and live mullet, 227 Dyke Road, 409-945-4001. Open 24 hours, 7 days a week until we're not. So that's it, Mickey.
That'll hunt, brother. All right. Well, Dave, have a good weekend. Talk to you next week. Keep your powder dry, buddy.
Yes, sir, we'll do it. Everybody be careful. We'll see you soon. Thank you now.
All right, man. Later, Dave. All right, that's Dave Fremont down in Texas City. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on those long deliveries, their sales team, with over 100 years of combined experience, are here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all. Call them at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:38 here in the Bayou City. Been getting texts on how to cook these crabs. It's the way I do it and the way I like it. You know, everybody's different the way they like their seasoning or spice, you know, whether they want them hot or medium or bland. But, you know, I clean them totally. I'll do it real quick before I go to Hillman. I clean them, pull the shell off, wash them out real good, make sure they're good and clean. And I'll take like a 60 to 80 quart, you know, like a crawfish pot, put 2 ounces of Louisiana liquid in there, you know, while your water's coming to a boil, 2 sticks of butter, at least 8 ounces or, you know, half a bottle of apple cider vinegar. That vinegar helps those crabs pick easier, by the way. About 12 ounces of Louisiana powder, depending on, you know, how spicy you want them. You may want to use less. You may want to use more. A cup of salt, and I'd put, you know, that's the mix for like a 60 to 80 quart pot. Bring your water to a boil after all your seasoning's in there, and it's blended up good. Dump your basket in there. Boil 7 minutes. Turn your fire off and soak them for another 7. And dump them out. They're ready to go. All right. I'm ready to go with Captain Steve Hillman this morning. Steve, what's going on, man?
Man, you got me thinking about food this early in the morning.
Well, Dave Fremont started that with his number one crabs down there at Boyd. So,
man,
feeling a little crabby this morning.
Have you been crabbing yet?
Not yet. I'm fixing to, man.
But running your traps is what I meant.
That's what I mean. Really, yeah, no, yet. That's I'm fixing to get started with that.
Man.
Got a little wind to hear. All my buddies that do it with me, they're going to Baffin, I don't know, in 2 or 3 weeks. So we got to get a little 2-week run going here. Man. Throw your traps out, go catch a few trout, and let them soak for 2 days and go pick them up.
God, that sounds good.
And then call all your friends. If you really nuked them good, get them over and everybody enjoy.
There you go.
Well, you on a big girl beat down right now, buddy?
I don't know what I'm on. I don't know.
Come on, man. Tell me where you're catching them big hog trout right now.
Yeah. I only fished 2 days this week. I fished Monday and Tuesday. Had a group of guys.
You fished in that wind Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Uh-huh.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, you know, and it's just so many days where we get out there, the forecast for Tuesday was like east 5 to 10, and we got out there. It was dead calm Tuesday morning and for about 5 minutes, and then this wall of northeast wind hit us, and I'm like, I had all new guys, had 4 guys, had same guys both days, and some of them came in from Plano, from Fort Worth. A couple of them were local, but
fishermen, huh?
Yeah. I said, man, this wasn't in the brochure. You know, we're going out across the bay, and it's whitecap, and I'm like, good God, how many mornings are we going to do this with this northeast wind, you know? It's just that time of year, I guess. And you get so tired of it, and it never really got right. Not where I was, but we did okay for
scraped up a few, yeah.
for who I had, what I fished in, all that kind of stuff. But wait, that was that Monday morning? That was Monday morning, not Tuesday morning. Monday morning started out calm.
Right.
And but it wasn't calm for long. That's right, because I pulled in on an area that where I'd been catching some really, really good fish. And we got one little mini drift out of it, caught two good trout, and I'm still getting the guys all situated and acclimated to how they need to work the worms and all this stuff, and just getting settled in, man. And two Han Yachts and a John boat come screaming through our school. I couldn't believe it. I mean, some of these people, I don't know what's going on between their ears. Not much, but that messed it up a little bit. And then this guy comes in. He's some kind of, he's a guide. He's been guiding a long time, but this guy's just bad news, man. He came in, got within about 50 yards of me, and I got mad and left.
Oh, I saw the picture of that guy. You texted that to me and Bob. I said, yeah, that's par for the course. I've seen that a million times.
Yeah, especially with him. But yeah,
exactly. We won't.
He wouldn't even look at me. Yeah, he wouldn't even look at me. And I didn't say much, you know, but left.
You're growing up, Steve.
I'm just tired. I'm just tired is all. And it's not worth it. If that goofball hadn't learned how to operate his deal by now, then he ain't never gonna learn. But anyway, so I left and we never really hit anything good. And then that wind, that's right, then that wind picked up. It wasn't supposed to. It was dead calm Monday morning, then it picked up hard northeast, and it was just tough fishing. I would caught 17 or 18 trout, only had seven legal fish, and I mean, they're all good fish. And then we went, got out of the wind, did some red fishing, flounder fishing, caught nothing but undersized reds and undersized flounder. So that was my first day with those new guys, and I don't think they were all that impressed. I wasn't either. And so the next day, and a couple of them, they sit down and kind of drag their lures around and stuff like that.
And
it wasn't, you know, the deal. And four people's just, God, that's just too many drifting, man.
I don't like
especially in the wind. And but we made it work. And then same crew, like I said, the next day, it was southeast at about 7 or 8 the next morning. So it was almost ice cream conditions. And I went straight back to the fish that I was not able to fish that Monday. It was pretty good stuff. We caught 14. Like, I put the anchor out on them. It was good, decent stuff. And had one a little over 22 inches, and had most of the fish were 18 to 19 inch footballs, and just butterball fat. You know, of course, they're all just gorging on these shad.
Yeah.
No shortage of shad this year again in our bay system. So, and they popped quite a few slicks on Tuesday. And then we went goofing off trying to do the redfish and flounder thing. It was the same. It was a sequel to what we did the day before. Nothing but a couple throwback reds and throwback flounder, which, you know, after that last little cold snap a week ago, which really wasn't a cold snap, but it did drop the water temps a little bit. We caught some really nice flounder and a few slot reds, but that water got back up to 80 degrees. Actually, it was almost 81 degrees when I came in Tuesday. And I just, those flounder just didn't, the bigger flounder just didn't want to eat. I know they were there, but everything on tails. I wasn't going to even attempt top waters with a boatload of people.
No, that's,
throwing egg beaters, but,
you'd have been to the emergency room that afternoon, I'm sure, or even earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you from a listener. Ask Steve about suspended oyster farming methods and how that differs from natural oyster beds. water filtration, but no fishable structure. I know this is occurring in Texas and would love some insight. And thanks for the info, if it gets
you. Yeah, so all the natural beds and the oyster dealers that have private oyster leases that they lease from the GLO, from the General Land Office, those are grown on the bottom. And on the oyster leases, they harvest they harvest and transplant from what they call closed waters and put them within the boundaries on their oyster leases and allow them a period of time to filter. Those are still wild oysters, and then they put them on their private beds. And then, of course, you have the public reefs that are just in public waters in the central approved areas and the conditionally approved areas, you know, set forth by the Parks and Wildlife. And the public reef season is November 1st through April 30th, 6 month period every year. And then oyster farming in Texas, I think there's something like 13 farms in operation on the Texas coast right now. I think there are some more permits are coming down the pipeline, you know, they're trying mm-hmm. to get their stuff going, but they use grow out cages. They're floating cages, and those oysters they're seeded. It's a combination of, I'm trying to give the layman's version of it,
right.
But it's a combination of aquaculture and mariculture. Aquaculture is they grow the seeds, you know, inland, like in a lab, for lack of a better word. But and then they put the seeds, they plant the seeds in the grow out cages, and then they only have to grow to 2 inches from the hinge to the lip, whereas a wild harvested oyster has to be 3 inches.
Three, exactly. I knew that part. I didn't know about these others being on minimum being,
but
2 inches.
They filter and feed, do everything that the wild oyster does. They're the same exact species that we have here in Texas, and the same species that we have on the entire East Coast all the way up through Canada, through Prince Edward Island, is Chrysostea virginica, and they're commonly called the eastern oyster. And then there are a lot of names that you'll see on restaurant menus from the areas that they're harvested from, like,
right,
you know, Blue Point oysters from Long Island Sound, and then there's a whole bunch of little, you know, they call them Appalachians, names of oysters that from areas from which they're harvested. And but they're all Chrysostea virginica. They're all the same.
Say what? Could you repeat that?
They're all the same species that we have here. But no, there's a couple. We have a couple of areas here in Galveston, one in west, one in east, a couple in east actually, that where they're growing some oysters. But yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. It's catching on. You know, used to it. It was too labor intensive. They couldn't compete because the price points were too far apart from farm raised and wild. But now, with the shortage of wild harvest, you know, oysters that are harvested on public reefs, the price point's a lot closer, so they're more competitive. So you're seeing more and more farmers pop up along the Texas coast. But that's the, I mean, in a nutshell, that's kind of the basic difference between the two.
You start out with a seed, as mm-hmm. you explained, in a cage like that. How long, do you have any idea how long it takes to get to the 2-inch minimum requirement?
It takes like, with the 2-inch minimum, it takes like 12 to 15 months from what I understand.
Good Lord, that's slow.
And then, not really, not compared to the East Coast. East Coast takes
years. For nowadays, you know, with instant gratification mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. And then wild, you know, the ones on the wild reefs, you're looking at 15 to 24 months, depending on the conditions, to get to 3 inches. Right. It just depends. There's a lot of variables. There's
water, salinity rates, water, too much fresh water, too salty of water. Yeah, you know, it's.
Yeah, but they're tasty little oysters, man. They're good. I've eaten some of them. Of course, I love oysters anyway. I grew up eating them. But
I couldn't have said all that better myself. I promise you, man. I was kind of lost with that text. I'm glad you were here to answer it. But
that's kind of a weird one out of blue. That's
it is oyster season. You know, we got R in the month.
Oh, what
it's
is
November.
Today? Is it? Okay, yeah, it starts tomorrow, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it sure
November.
Does.
Here we go. All right. Well, hey. Unfortunately, we're out of time, brother. If somebody wants to call you about doing a big girl beatdown with artificial lures, how they get a hold of you, man?
All right. 409-256-7937.
All right, Stevie. Hey, always fun talking to you, man. You have a great day, and we'll check in with you down the road, my friend.
All right. You too, Mickey. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Kick them hard.
Thank you.
All right, man.
All right.
All right. That's Captain Steve Hillman. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.